This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go here on the Abe TL Show. But you're not going to be rid of me just yet, because then we got the five stripes countdown coming your way as Atlanta United is in Charlotte, taking on Charlotte FC. Mike and Jason are going to have the call for you. And, of course, we'll pop up to Bank of America Stadium, hear what they have to say with Garth Lagerwey in the middle of the five stripes countdown. But a big match on match day 2-4, Atlanta United. And I don't know about you guys. I was excited for the season to get here, especially after adding Miggy, after adding Latte Loth. And being at the home opener, the performance, dramatic win, it only got me more amped up. Now, as I've mentioned it multiple times, both during the Atlanta United broadcast or on the Soccer Down Here podcast, we're going to be patient. And today, right, with issues in the defense and injuries that are forcing guys who are not your first choice to step up and perform in big moments and big roles against what looks to be an increasingly dangerous Charlotte team, we're going to be patient. Whatever happens today happens. It is not all that you can accomplish over the course of the season. And when this team does finally get healthy, if they can stay healthy, I think the sky is the limit. So looking forward to it, but certainly a little nervous about today's game. I think Charlotte is a very good team, and they added some pieces. Atlanta United added some pieces, and they're going to do battle. And I look forward to getting you set up for that in about an hour with Nick Alifi of Soccer Down Here when we begin the Five Stripes countdown. It's been a big week in the NFL. We talked about the combine. In an hour, the quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers are going to take to the field. We'll be keeping our eyes on that as well. But because of the combine starting this week, most of the teams made their general managers and head coaches available to the media, and the Atlanta Falcons were no different, right? We heard from Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot. They also joined us over the course of the day on Tuesday, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, for some franchises, hearing for the coach and the GM is just kind of off-season fodder. It's we're going to tell you our draft plan, and we're going to try and lock up our guys and this and that. And sure, there was a little bit of that for the Falcons brass, but there was also this other interesting storyline about what has happened with the former QB1 here in Atlanta, Kirk Cousins. And obviously, these were the first public comments from the Falcons in regards to Kirk Cousins, how the season went, and what he said on Super Bowl Radio Row. Terry Fontenot was up first, and I'll let you hear from Raheem Morris tomorrow during my show, 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The Abe TL Show returns tomorrow, assuming I confidently get through the half marathon, the Publix Atlanta half. But we'll hear from Raheem tomorrow. But right now, Terry Fontenot, who joined the morning shift on Tuesday morning, he talked about Kirk Cousins and says, hey, what I said before Kirk made his comments are exactly how I still feel. The Falcons are comfortable with Kirk as backup.
It hasn't changed. And just like with any player at any position or any decision we make, We always have to look at all the circumstances and do what's absolute best for the Atlanta Falcons. But at this point, that hasn't changed.
I mean, we'll see. Again, it is so difficult to tell ultimately where this ends up. I think we all understand, right? The best case scenario is that the Falcons find a trade and Kirk accepts it, waives his no-trade clause, and we move on from there. I think that's probably the best-case scenario. Where it gets tricky is if there is no trade. And you either have to make a decision of we're going to keep him and he's our backup, or we're going to cut him, and whoever wants to have him for a mil and a half or whatever the vet minimum is going to be is what happens. And they continue to say that they're comfortable with him as the backup. Now, obviously, it's a different discussion based on his comments, because the comfort level now is not just about, well, we can't have a backup quarterback that's owed $40 million, right? It's not just a financial comfort anymore. You've also got, did he lie to the team? Did he cost you the season? There's a lot of other emotional discussions that have to be had about whether this guy can fit back into the locker room. So it's not just a financial comfort. I'd have a much easier time arguing, yeah, they actually may keep him if it was just about the money. It's not just about the money. I still think that's the alpha discussion here. But I don't think it's the only factor into this discussion. Terry Fontenot knows that whether or not they keep Kirk Cousins, they are going to take a big hit. They're going to need to move money around because they got some guys they need to add. Drew Dahlman is at the top of the list, but he's not the only guy. And Terry Fontenot, with the morning shift on Tuesday, addressed the Falcons' current salary cap situation.
That's really the first step, and we've been having a lot of meetings about that, because it does. It starts with your roster, whether you're talking about extensions, restructures, and we have clear plans in all those areas, but everything that you do is going to affect something else. So we have a clear plan to get ourselves at a good point, and that's very, very critical for us. So we can make sure we make the right decisions with our roster, make sure we get into free agency and add players that can help us, and obviously do the same with the draft.
It's going to be real interesting to see what those decisions are. The Grady Jarrett one is probably the biggest one. You part ways with Grady and it's $16 million. You keep Grady, you restructure, and you plan things out. Same thing with guys like Jesse Bates, you could restructure. Chris Lindstrom's already done it. Jake Matthew, I mean, you look at different ways you can get there, but you have to find some money. And it's not just about Kirk Cousins. You got to find a lot of money, because Drew Dahlman is not going to be cheap. He is viewed as the top free agent center available. I think the Falcons want to keep him here, but you're going to have to make a competitive offer. And I don't know what the market truly is. I don't know what the market truly is, but it's going to have to be something legitimate. And then from there, you kind of figure out some of the other guys. Is it worth talking to Justin Simmons? Is it worth talking to Matthew Judon? Are you looking at bringing back Lorenzo Carter? Rondale Moore didn't get a chance, but he, I think, enters free agency. Is that a guy you're interested in? A lot of questions coming. I think Ryan Neuzel might be a free agent. Very good depth for your offensive line. And so how do you do this? Do you restructure? Are you cutting guys? A lot of discussions have to be made. Maybe I learned a little bit from those two comments about Kirk Cousins and the salary cap. Maybe I didn't. What I did learn, though, is, and look, it's going to sound like the exact same stuff he says every year, right? And every GM's got the playbook of, in I know they're GM, but coach speak, right? Front office cliches, whatever you want to call it. And Terry Fontenot went deep into his bag this year. There's no denying it. It sounds like it sounds almost every other year. For whatever reason, though, it gave me some insight. And it starts with the draft strategy for the Atlanta Falcons.
Our mindset has always been we want to come out of the draft with players that we are convicted on, that players that we feel really good about and there's a lot of passion about. When we have five draft picks, we do have to explore those ideas of moving back and of picking up more draft capital. And that's just going to depend on what's sitting there. We have to be smart about it, but whether we come out of the draft with five picks or eight picks, we need to make sure we hit on those picks.
They currently sit at 15. Will they draft at 15? I don't think you know that just yet. I'm leaning towards no. I think they drop down. I think they add some extra picks, and I think that's something that Terry Fontenot is going to be pretty open about. I think they want to add more, and obviously they lost the pick with the Kirk Cousins tampering. They lost the pick with the Matthew Judon addition, and so I think they want more than five picks. The best way to do that is to move down from 15. Now, why do you move down from 15? And early in that clip, Terry Fontenot talked about being convicted on a specific player. Why would you move from 15? Because you aren't. Because you're not sold. Because there's not a guy like Michael Penix that you view as a, we can't move past this guy. We have to get him, which is understandable. But if there's not that guy, I think there is a good opportunity for them to add more picks. And that brings you into what the draft strategy actually is for this team.
Everyone's the best player available for us is the fact that you don't want to reach for needs. You want to bring in impact players. You don't want to reach for needs. But definitely understand what you're saying. It's clear where we have a number of needs on our position and on our team. And the cool thing about this draft is it is super deep on the defense. Like I said, we met with a bunch of those guys already on yesterday, and there's a lot of really, really good defensive players in the draft. So we got to take the best player for us, and you just never want to reach for needs. That's the key point with that. You want to keep making your total team better because it is truly a complimentary game.
I know there's a lot of people that don't want to hear this, and I understand. That comment tells me that it is not, and nor has it ever been, by the way, it is not pass rush no matter what. It just isn't. And I think we've seen at the combine, there are plenty of guys that you might like, but if there's a run before 15, you're not going to reach. And he's directly said, I'm not going to reach for a guy. And when you talk about team needs and you look at this roster, pass rush is a need. There's no denying that. I'm not trying to argue against it. It's not the only need. Is it the biggest need? I do agree. Yes. But I'm actually in line with this. If you are going to sit there and say, all right, we don't like any of these guys at 15, what are the options? Option one, which he talked about, adding more picks, trade back. We're not reaching for a guy. We'll move back and draft a guy where he should be slotted. That's option one. Option two, we're not going to reach for a pass rusher we don't believe in, but there is another defensive player here that we do believe in. We're going to draft that guy. Whether it's a corner or a safety, I think we all know, and I'm not closing my eyes to the pass rush problem. I'm also not completely ignorant of what's another DB going to do if we can't impact the corner. I get it. I'm with you. I'm just laying out the possibilities in the draft. Trading back is possible. Taking a corner is possible. Trading back and still taking a corner is possible. Or safety. I'm not going to get locked in to a pass rusher. And the big concern for me now isn't what they're going to do at 15. It's what happens before 15. I think there's a run on pass rush coming in the top 12. And if that happens, who's actually left for the Falcons at 15, and how does that shape their discussion? Really interesting comments from Terry Fontenot. Again, the book of cliches, coach speak, et cetera, et cetera. I actually think you can learn something, though, if you just pay attention a little bit, not just to what he's saying, but to the combine, to mock drafts, and to what's going on in the NFL. Speaking of what's going on in the NFL, we talked about the combine. A lot of non-combine stories circulating. We're going to bring some thought to go on the last 48, 72 hours in the NFL overall. Heading towards 1 o'clock in the Five Stripes Countdown. It's Abe Gordon. The Abe TL Show rolls on in about 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. The Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here hanging out. Got about 40 minutes till we start the pregame show. The Five Stripes Countdown right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A little more extra coverage today because that is a nationally televised game. Fox is going to have coverage for you. But, of course, we got coverage for you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and Jason are going to have the call. And I got the pregame show with Nick Alifi Soccer down here. He's in the building, ready to roll. We're talking about the other football, though. Still, because it's been a wild week of stories in the NFL. And I'll be honest, I thought I was going to start with this Matthew Stafford story, but I can't get away from what's going on in Cleveland. And a lot of you who have listened to the station for a while know I worked and lived in Cleveland for a couple of years, covered sports radio, or not covered sports radio, covered the Browns while working in sports radio for a couple of years there in Cleveland. With our partners on Odyssey 92.3. And this standoff between Myles Garrett and I almost don't even want to say it's between him and the Browns. It's between him and Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry is the GM for the Browns. He has a baseball background, which is why every time I get the suggestion of fire Terry Fontenot and hire double A for the Falcons, I'm going to point you to Andrew Berry every time and just tell you, this is no disrespect to double A, who I'm sure would do a great job. But look at what happens in Cleveland when a baseball guy comes to run a football organization. And so no thank you. Love AA, but no thank you. And look, it's been made clear that Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland. I think we can all understand the reasoning. He's the player, two of three players of a generation, right? When you think about, like, defensive linemen of this generation, and no disrespect to anyone I'm not going to name here, you kind of think of, and maybe we're combining generations, whatever. I'm going to say four names. I think you have to include four. Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, and probably T.J. Watt. And again, there's probably a name or two that you want to include. I mean, but like those are the four guys. And he's being wasted. They don't have a plan. They don't have a quarterback. They're in a tough division. They're not going anywhere. He wants out. He wants out. I can understand that from a veteran like him. So Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, says, I get that he wants out. We have no intention of trading him. Okay. The next step now, most recently, is Andrew Berry saying, we intend to sign Myles Garrett and make him the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. And Myles Garrett saying, I am not open to a contract extension. It's really like, I mean, it's not ugly per se. We've seen uglier situations between a player and an organization. I think Myles Garrett is handling it pretty responsibly, pretty respectfully in regards to the organization, the fans, all of that stuff. It might turn ugly at some point, though. It really might. And I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be on the side of the player in this one. Here's the problem. As much as Myles Garrett wants to talk about wanting out, he doesn't have the leverage. I mean, I guess he could hold out. I guess he could sit out. But Ultimately, it's up to Andrew Berry to find and facilitate a trade. And I think they're going to get solid offers. But to trade Myles Garrett, especially if it's a guy you don't want to trade, it's going to have to be an offer you simply can't refuse. I'm not suggesting it's like Herschel Walker level deal. But a guy like Myles Garrett probably goes for two first rounds and some other stuff. If Andrew Berry's so stuck on holding him, it might take three firsts. I mean, it might take like some draft day stuff. You guys remember when draft day come out? And we're going to have more on the movie draft day tomorrow when I'm doing a Gene Hackman discussion. And you have to tune in to try and figure out how I connect those dots. But you remember in draft day, everyone's like, the most unrealistic part of this movie is he would never give up three firsts. No one would give up three firsts. I mean, if you want Myles Garrett and Andrew Berry's just stuck, like, bro, it might be four firsts. Like, if you're the Eagles, would you give up four first-round picks for Myles Garrett? Like, forget the money aspect of this, which obviously plays itself out, but, like, if you're the Eagles, your next four first-round picks are, like, 27, 29, 32, and 31. Like they're not that great. It's pretty wild. I'm almost more interested in how that ends than this Kirk Cousins thing here in Atlanta. Like, we all think we know how Kirk ends. It's just a matter of time before the dates hit, and then we have to make a call. I don't know what the timeline looks like for Myles Garrett, and I'm fascinated by who goes after him. I wish it would be Atlanta, but I don't think that's happening either. Matthew Stafford back with the Rams. It's not surprising. It always felt like the most likely result. And there's some weird insinuations over the past 24 hours about Stafford. And like this premise that like when faced with leaving LA for either the Raiders or the Giants or whoever, he just couldn't do it. He likes LA too much. He trusts Sean McVay too much. And, like, I get that. Maybe that's a factor. The Rams were never letting him leave. Like, why are we doing this? They weren't moving on from Stafford. They're certainly not moving on for Stafford for... And by the way, to my guy, Yo, who tweets at me, and I love that Yo listens a lot. I love that he's supportive, and I appreciate the conversation. He was suggesting that they can move on from Stafford because Stetson Bennett's in the locker room. Man, even if they did move on from Stafford, Stetson wasn't getting the ball. It doesn't matter, ultimately, because they don't move on from Stafford. The Rams are going to try and run through this thing over the next two, maybe 3 years max, with a young, kind of doing what the Falcons maybe should be doing, a young defense full of alpha pass rushers. They struck gold on a late round, not late round, but on Kyren Williams at the running back position. See what they can get potentially for Cooper Kupp. And maybe this changes things with Cooper Kupp. Does Stafford returning, you're going to try and run it back with Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua? But the Rams were always in these small windows right now of going for it. And they kind of put themselves there the first time they traded Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford. They're still in it. And so this is not a surprise. Travis Kelce back for another season in a text message to Pat McAfee, quote, "I'm coming back for sure. Going to try to get into the best shape I've been this offseason and get back to the mountaintop. Got a real bad taste in my mouth with how I played in that last game and with how I got the guys ready for battle. I can't go out like that." All right, so what do we got the cliche checkoff list here. We got, I can't go out like that. There's unfinished business. That's a check. Going to try to get into the best shape I've been best shape of my life. Check. Back to the mountaintop. That's an old school one. How about that? And questioning of his own leadership. Got to get my guys ready for battle. I mean, job well done from Travis Kelce on the list of cliches. But ultimately not a surprise. Now, I do think he's probably coming close to the end. I think he's going to give it another year. I don't know how much I would expect beyond this year. And I would say the same thing for Andy Reid. But I'm not surprised that he's coming back. One of the more interesting NFL bits of news came out of Indianapolis. And not just the combine. I'm referring specifically to the Colts. And Anthony Richardson is on some shaky ground. And Colts GM Chris Ballard says the quarterback competition with Anthony Richardson is going to be open, and they expect to add a quarterback. It was Joe Flacco there last year. I think they might bring in someone. They legitimately want to push Anthony Richardson for that starting role. Now, I think ultimately they would prefer Anthony Richardson than win that competition, or it's a total restart again. But I think they're going to bring someone in that's a little bit more than legitimate. Daniel Jones maybe fit there. I don't think they're going to bring in someone that obviously should be starting. Like, I don't think they're going to bring in Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers. Gardner Minshew, obviously, back to Indy probably is not going to happen. Jameis Winston? I saw Desmond Ridder is going to be available. You want to watch a Desmond Ridder, Anthony Richardson quarterback competition? Me neither. But it is interesting that they're kind of opening the door to push Richardson out already. And I don't really blame them. Like, I'm not getting the feeling that he has what it takes to be a consistent, successful NFL quarterback. I think he's outstanding in close games. I think he can push you over the top when you're competitive. Well, on a week-in, week-out basis, I just don't know if he has it. And I never thought he did, if we're going to be honest. And I watched him play at Florida. I thought he would be very well served from an additional year with the Gators. Didn't happen. He went where he went in the draft, and that kind of justified him leaving. But questions now remain in Indianapolis. It is a tough, tough call. A couple of rules things going on. NFL is going to use the virtual measuring system to determine first downs. They're still going to have the chain gang, though, to spot the ball and kind of decide where the line to gain is. And then I don't know how it works. They shoot a laser across the field. Whatever's going to happen will happen. But they're kind of stuck in the middle. They're not fully going into it, but they're also advancing a little bit. And I'm glad they're taking some steps. Like, in a pile of 12 people, like, we just got some guy on the sideline who maybe thinks he has an idea where the ball was, running 20 yards and spotting with a left foot or a right foot. Like, obviously we can improve upon that. But we'll see. I need to see this in action before I really buy in to this as well. Continuing today in Indianapolis, the NFL Combine. I'll talk about it in just a moment as we wrap up the ABTL show. What I'm excited about today as the offensive skill players hit the field. We'll also get you set for a big game in college basketball involving the Georgia Bulldogs. Certainly Atlanta United getting to take on a rival. And spring training continuing as well. A lot still going on as we wrap up the ABTL show. That's coming up in about 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Again, 92.9 The Game, the ABTL show. Abe Gordon here. It looks like the Combine is already underway. It's not being televised yet. I don't believe NFL Network's going to kick off until 1 o'clock. But I have it under relatively good authority that Cam Scadabo, the bowling ball running back from Arizona State, just popped a 39.5-inch vert. My goodness. What I wouldn't give to just be, like, explosive like that. I mean, these guys yesterday, the DBs, who were running so slow at, like, 4.55, and we're asking, like, what's wrong with this guy? A 4.55? How did he ever play football? You guys know how fast that is? I don't know what I could run in the 40. It's it's not a 4-5-5. It's probably not a 5-5-5. I'm decently athletic. I run. I'm more of the distance than the sprint. I mean, I think I could get 6-5-5. I think I could go sub 6-5. I've never really looked at it like, could I go sub 6? I have no idea. But like a 4-5-5 being like, what's wrong with this guy? That's always my favorite aspect of these freaks lining up next to other freaks. What'd he jump 37? Plummeting down draft boards. Okay. Whatever, man. I look forward to the freaks, though. And some of the receivers, some of the running backs are going to be very interesting. A couple of safeties really stepped up yesterday. Nick Emmanuel Mori, South Carolina. We talked about Shamar Stewart on day one. And then the offensive line is always some of my favorites because they got guys who should not be running like 5.5s and 5.4s. Just doing some freaky nonsense. So I really enjoy the combine. I do think it's lost a little bit of significance this year. A lot of guys are not working out, be it decision, personal decision, injury, whatever. Just a lot of guys are saving it for pro day. It kind of bumps me out because I wanted to see certain guys. Now, one of the guys that is working out as part of the group today, Jalen Milroe. And for all the guys who sit here and say, I want to control the controllables, I want to throw on a field I'm comfortable with to guys that I've played with, Jalen Milroe is taking that leap because he's saying, man, I did not look good at the Senior Bowl, and I need to put something out there. And so Jalen Milroe is going to be part of the quarterback group that's throwing today, and we'll look forward to that because he's like one of the weirdest conundrum potentials that I see. Like, he could be Jaden Daniels in theory. I mean, I don't really see it, but in theory, he also could be someone gets him and he becomes this Anthony Richardson discussion where we're like, yeah, man, it's kind of there on given days, but like, what are we doing the rest? Definitely not changing positions. He's very adamant about that. So the NFL Combine coming up. Obviously, Atlanta United coming up a little bit as well. We've got a full hour plus of coverage. Again, this game is on Fox. So plenty of time to break down what is – I mean, it is a rivalry with Charlotte, and we were talking with Willie P. earlier, Will Pelagic, the voice of Charlotte FC, and – it is forced a little bit geographically. I think you have the immediate tie-ins of Atlanta and Charlotte in general, right? Falcons and Panthers are kind of rivals as well. But it is a friendly rivalry. A lot of Charlotte peeps are Braves fans. A lot of them, I wouldn't say grew up, but were initially Atlanta United fans as well before Charlotte got a squad. And so there are some nice tie-ins. But it is a rivalry that is becoming increasingly important in the Eastern Conference of the MLS. And a lot of times had been not too much attention paid to Charlotte. They popped last year with a top five finish in the Eastern Conference. They also popped this year with the addition of Wilfred Zaha. And so they are trying to do some really impressive things. Their goalkeeper of the year in the MLS last year, Christian Kolina. So we're going to have a lot more on that. I got Nick Alifi sitting here next to me as well. I'm just going to tease for you 1 second before we get there. You're going to want to stick around for the Five Stripes Countdown. I have a conspiracy theory revolving around these two teams. I look forward to bringing that to you in just over 15 minutes. My guy Yo is out there, and he heard me call him out, and he's doubling down. He doubled down on Stetson Bennett and Matthew Stafford. He says the Rams can move on from Stafford because Stetson Bennett is in the locker room. He doubled down. I tried to be nice to him as well. Like, I tried to be relatively nice with my insult. I told him, just stop saying wildly irresponsible things. That's the nice way of saying that's a dumb comment. And Yo knows I got much love for him. Stetson's not QB1 now, and he would not have been QB1 if Stafford was traded. And there's a reason they brought in Jimmy G last year in case Stafford got hurt. So there you go. Georgia, the Bulldogs, basketball. Big game today against Texas. And obviously that was a huge game on the football field, one that kind of got Bulldogs fans to re-believe that they could win a national championship. That dismantling of Texas didn't happen in football. And they're obviously not going to win a championship in basketball. That's not where I was headed with this comment. But it is interesting that this is a big game. Tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. Both teams are looking not just to improve their tournament resume, but really secure themselves on the right side of last four in and first four out. I think at last check, and different people had these two teams in different slots. At last check, I believe Texas was last four in. Georgia was first four out. Certainly, if Georgia can go on the road in Austin and win this game, they would switch spots, if not more. But it's not just about tonight. You don't secure your spot tonight. You're going to have to solidify it the rest of the way in the regular season. You're going to have two regular season games remaining in the SEC. And then, obviously, who knows what's going to happen in the SEC tournament. What a mishmash of potential results. So, look, we just saw Georgia coming off their best performance of the year in a what looked like it was going to be a dismantling of number three Florida. Obviously, they let Florida back into it, actually let Florida hold the lead for a couple moments, and then they did wrap that one up. But coming off that performance, can they build a little bit momentum, go out to Austin, Texas, and notch? Again, it's not like the most impressive win on their resume, but something that will get people talking about Georgia being on the right side of things when the committee comes in to play. Wanted to talk about a couple NBA things. And again, we're heading towards the Five Stripes countdown. Atlanta United is going to kick off match day two across the MLS, an early afternoon game. It's going to be televised on Fox, but of course, we've got you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app if you're here in the Atlanta area. Mike Conney and Jason Longshore, the voices of Atlanta United, are going to be coming your way shortly after 2 o'clock for the broadcast of the game. Nick Alifi and myself will have the Five Stripes countdown for you starting at 1 o'clock here. And certainly you can watch the game on Fox, but you all know how you can sync the broadcast as well, if you're in the market here with a smart speaker or with your phone. So you'll be able to hear Mike and Jason there call the game while watching it on the Big Boy TV. And it's pretty cool to be on Big Boy TV. I really do like that. And again, that's just another layer, in my opinion, of this rivalry. It takes it up a notch to see that. And maybe you could say the MLS is pushing it, forcing it. But I also think it's a declaration that, hey, this game matters. Like I know it's match day two, and I said it earlier, and I'll probably say it again once we do get to the pregame show. You're not winning the Eastern Conference today. You're not losing the Eastern Conference today. But this is a game that does matter. And in previous years, you might say, oh, it's like a little rivalry game, but ultimately we know where Charlotte's going to end. We know where Atlanta's going to end. That's not the case this year, and it wasn't the case last year either. So this feels like a pretty big one here to start the season. A couple things going on in the NBA last night. Unfortunately, we had to watch the Atlanta Hawks get blown out by the Oklahoma City Thunder, 135-119. First quarter, they were down 17. Third quarter wasn't much better. They fought back in the second and fourth, but ultimately never had a chance as SGA and company drained a boatload of threes. I think they took 50 and made 23 of them, something like that. So the Hawks are having some issue defending the perimeter. We saw Miami set or come close to setting a franchise record for threes, so that wasn't great either. But that wasn't the only game to get off to an incredible start. I don't know if you guys were watching, and we've talked about it. I got the two TV setup, all that stuff. Well, I have a four TV setup, but I was only watching two of them at the time. Boston was hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, and Boston got off to the type of start that only a champion can get off to. They were all over the Cavs early. It was 25-3 midway through the first quarter. But little by little, Spida and the rest of the Cavaliers came alive. Ty Jerome and, yes, DeAndre Hunter off the bench came alive. And the Cavaliers, despite trailing 25-3 in the opening minutes of this game, go into Boston, come from down 22, and take out the Celtics. And I feel like a lot of people were talking about this Cleveland team as they were the Hawks team from the 2016 season, the number one seed that everyone knew had no chance in the playoffs. I think they're putting out some performances that you're like, no, man, like they are going to have a chance in the playoffs. It's a really good team. They defend very well. They shoot very well. And they're coached well. And so they're a problem. And you come back from down 22 points on the defending champions. That meant something. Luka and LeBron notched another win. I'm going to talk about that in a moment as well before we wrap things up here. We got a couple minutes left. We're going to step aside and then get you all set up for the Five Stripes Countdown. That is coming your way at 1 o'clock. Just a couple minutes of the Abe TL show remains. We're coming right back in 3-4 minutes, something like that, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Short break. As we roll on, the Abe TL show about to wrap up here and about to get the Five Stripes Countdown started. And I'm excited for this show. I got Nick Alifi of Soccer down here. He's going to join me over the course. But it's just an interesting game to talk about. A lot of factors, a lot of facets that I look forward to diving into. Big weekend for me here on just personally and professionally, I guess. Obviously, just wrapping up this show, we got the Atlanta United pre and post coming your way as well. I am back tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. with another edition of the Abe TL show. Very excited about a couple of different things we're going to be talking about there. I have a movie discussion that starts with Gene Hackman and ends at Adam Sandler with a lot of variety in the middle. I'm definitely going to want some thoughts on that one. Tomorrow, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports Bracketology is going to join me, as will Mike Yam of the NFL Network. We'll also let you hear what Raheem Morris told Andy and Randy earlier this week when he joined them as the Combine was getting going. Speaking of the Combine, but about to get going in just a couple of minutes, and glad that we have two working TVs here in the studio. We'll watch an hour of college basketball before flipping on to the Atlanta United game, but certainly going to watch the Combine. Running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers. So looking forward to seeing what some of these guys can get done. I'm really interested in some of the lower-tier quarterbacks, too, because we know what's going on with Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I don't know when they're going to go, but we know those are – I mean – you can tell me you love Jackson Dart as much as you want. Like, he's not jumping those guys, right? I don't know, but, like, seems that way. But there's a lot of guys I'm really interested in. We'll see who does and doesn't throw. We know Jalen Milroe is expected to throw, and he kind of has to. He got some good news from Brave Spring Training. It's a team that right now is 5-2, but more importantly, no setbacks. And you look at some of the injuries that have been suffered around Major League Baseball. The Mets are dealing with some, and the Red Sox are dealing with some, and there's no setbacks for the Atlanta Braves yet, and that's what we're hoping for. We'd like to see that remain as well, because that's what's really important. A team that already is dealing with the injuries of Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr. Let's get to the season healthy. But on top of that, you are seeing some good performances. Matt Olson looks red hot. Believe it or not, Drake Baldwin is playing well. I know Jurickson Profar got his spring training started with a double. So a couple of guys getting things, working on some things. The pitching performances, again, I'm not going to tip caps or panic based on what we're seeing. I want your velo to be where it needs to be, but if guys are hitting you, like, who cares? You don't want to be hitting guys from a physical standpoint as a pitcher, but if you get hit, You know, just chalk it up to working on things, and then we'll go from there. But a lot of questions about the Braves rotation. They've already made a couple of decisions. Hurston Waldrop has been sent option to AAA, among others. So no huge surprise there, but nice to see the guys stay healthy. I think that's what is most important. Speaking of staying healthy, that's something right now that Atlanta United is not, especially on the back line. We're going to be talking about that here in about 1 minute as we get the five stripes countdown going. Nick Alethea Soccer down here is going to join me. At one point in the show, we're going to head to Bank of America Stadium. Garth Lagerway is going to join Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. In about 30 minutes, we'll hear their conversation. And then Jason is actually going to stick around, do a little bit of crosstalk. Again, an extended version of the Five Stripes Countdown, because this game is being nationally televised on Fox, and they make their own rules for kickoffs, and it kind of changes our timeline. And Mike Conte said, no, I will not do more than I need be. And so I said, would you need me do more? And he said, yes, that is exactly what will happen. So me and Nick got plenty of time to get into it. And again, stick around, because in 30 seconds, conspiracy theory central as it relates to Charlotte FC and Atlanta United. I want to thank Noel for hanging out with me here on the Abe TL Show. Again, I'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 6 after the half marathon, for another edition. It's Abe Gordon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.